Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and today I'm eating Raising Cane's. I want a solid bench of four chicken fingers, crinkle cut fries with Texas toast. Now back to you, Todd.
So the usual.
Make Raising Cane's part of your game day lineup.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break, brought to you by Sand Hills Volvo. Live from Lincoln, America, here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks. I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Happy Tuesday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. You know, we called yesterday, Monday night being a epic sports night, and I think it delivered to the fullest extent.
Did you guys watch that game?
I watched a little bit of baseball. I watched a little bit of football. It was good stuff last night.
I watched some of that game.
Which game?
Football game.
Jags Chiefs.
Yeah. It was a good game.
Incredible game, man. I didn't watch any baseball, but the college, the NFL game was ridiculous.
All right, tell us about
14-0 early on. Chiefs lead at Jacksonville. 14-7 at halftime.
Okay.
And then it's 14-all. Yeah, it's 14-all in the third quarter. Chiefs are in the red zone.
Oh, he throws a pick to Devin Lloyd.
And Mahomes throws, an awful throw across
the ball.
There's two guys there. Devin Lloyd picks it up. Breaks the tackle about the 20, goes all the way for a 99-yard score.
How'd they not catch him?
He's got some speed. He's got some wheels.
Yeah, they got some speed on that offense. I saw it. I mean, I was like, how did you not catch this guy?
There was a receiver making some ground on him, but it was too late.
He got pushed out.
He ran out of space to catch up to him.
Got strong-armed out.
He did.
Yeah. Well, that was
and
a great play.
Goes back and forth, but the Jags do win that game 31-28. Jags are 4-1. How about the AFC South? The Colts are 4-1. The Jags are 4-1. The Texans are showing life now. The Titans got to win. What a weekend.
Who's that coach?
For the AFC South.
Liam Cohen.
Liam Cohen from the Bucs last year, the OC. And by the way, the Bucs offense still very good without him. But so is the Jags offense.
You watch him on the sideline. He's a dude.
He is a dude. He's
good presence.
Opposite of the other coach just south of him in Miami.
I'm not saying that.
I'm saying it. Both you got Jacksonville's good in Florida. You got Tampa's good in Florida, and they, something else, you know, the team down south is a train wreck in Florida. That's how it usually goes. Two teams are good, one team's bad.
Jacksonville's been pretty good?
No, they have not been good. This year, they're 4-1. They have not been very good the last several years, but change of coach, change of leadership, things are going well there.
And what's the Chiefs' record?
They're 2-3 now.
Oh, boy.
2-3 in Kansas City.
Don't look like a bad team, though.
No.
Look like a really good team. Yeah, for them to be, I think they didn't play good early, but this one, wow. And just that was the best winning touchdown play me I've ever seen. That
Trevor Lawrence?
When he fell down twice. I mean, got stepped on. Didn't fall down. He got stepped on, fell down, tried to get back up, fell down again, then got up and ran into the end zone. From the 4-yard line or five, whatever it was.
It was absolutely
remarkable. And that, trying to tackle him, good luck.
He's a dude.
And Trevor Lawrence scores with 23 seconds to go and make it 31-28. They don't. Score, they'll tie it up. 31-28 Jags win. This is also the same game where Trevor Lawrence got stuffed at the one, fumbled.
Mm-hmm.
A great play by the defender, but you get the nose of the ball just fails to get to the end zone, and Chiefs recover. So there was some high drama in that football game last night.
Yeah, he got poked out, right?
Like right at about the 1 millimeter line of before the end zone.
That's a big, and that was the only game last night?
That was, yeah. They did it right last night. Thank you for bringing that up, Sip. Last week we had Chiefs, Jets, Dolphins without the Troy Aikman and Joe Buck crew, and then we had Chris Fowler and Orlovsky and Riddick on the call, which was very just, you know, boring. It was a boring call. It's a boring game, to be fair. It's Jets Dolphins.
It was Chris Fowler.
Chris Fowler, Lewis Riddick, and Dan Orlovsky.
That's horrifying.
It was horrifying. Yeah. The game was horrifying, too.
I hate to say that, but...
And then, of course, you had Bengals-Broncos, which was not a great game because the Bengals are depleted at quarterback without Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And it was a blowout. But they had, you know, two games that weren't very good. And then last night, they did it right. One game, and guess what? It delivered. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman had a good game to call last night, and they were good in the call.
They were good. I was fading it. God dang it. I wish I could have made it to the end. I didn't make it to the end.
How far did you make it? Early fourth?
I made it to the interception and then the ensuing Chiefs drive. Yeah.
And they threw a horrible interception. They said it obviously was pass interference, and it looked like it when he
Which one?
The one that Trevor Lawrence threw.
Oh.
Because it was bizarre looking. I mean, they threw it to the guy for the Chiefs. Like, well, then they replayed it back, and it's like, oh, yeah, there was probably pass interference on the Jags, which will get all the fans worked up because they have some great memes with the officials in Kansas City. I've been seeing that; those are always a big deal. But yeah, Jacksonville looks real, and the crowd looked incredible.
It did.
Yeah, that could be a little bit. It looked like a fun place to be playing to me.
It did look good. It did.
I was alerted.
A lot of Chiefs fans. Though,
I was alerted to look ahead, and this bothers me. We're looking at a mid-October next week. Two Monday night games again. Why are we doing this?
Huh. Same time again.
Let's see, we have Bill. These are decent. Bills-Falcons. Bills-Falcons at 6:15 next week on ESPN. And Bears-Commanders 7:15 on ABC. So overlapping games. Again, why are we doing this? Why?
Well, okay.
We don't need two games. We don't need Chris Fowler on the call. Chris Fowler can stay with football on Saturdays. Doesn't need Mondays.
Who the Bears playing?
Bears-Commanders. Decent game.
Yes,
decent game. Yeah.
Those are both decent games.
It must work. They must.
I don't think it does.
Well, it must. They wouldn't.
Hold
it
now. So, are you telling me that 6:15? That's where we're gonna get Aikman and Buck?
No. They're going to Bears Commanders.
That makes sense.
So we'll have Bills Falcons. Decent game. Chris Fowler, Dan Orlovsky, and Lewis Riddick. Unless something changes there. But no, Buck and Aikman are always the 7:15 game. Bears Commanders next week. So. Split up your time again. Can't wait.
Very possible we're being too hard on Fowler, Riddick, and Orlovsky.
If you compare the two, I'm not saying that Joe Buck is the most exciting play-by-play guy. He's not. There's a guy, I don't know if you watched this weekend, the Dolphins game.
Uh-huh.
It was Dolphins-Panthers. I know Bill watched some of it, but Eric Collins is his name. He's the Charlotte Hornets. I don't have the calls in front of me.
Wait a second, really?
He's the Charlotte Hornets play-by-play. It was his first ever NFL game. And I think every single play in that game sounded like it was going to be a touchdown.
Touchdown.
Like, 5 yard game. Oh, no. 5 yard game. It was insanity. Like,
I had volume
back
down
me
most
up,
of the game,
people.
And I listened to that. And I watched the game, but I didn't have the volume up very much. I'd love to have heard that.
Oh, my God.
Inside zone three.
No, he every single. And the scoring plays, he about lost his voice. Waddle! Touchdown!
So you liked it or you didn't
I thought it was a little much. I like an exciting call. But when you make every single play seem like it's the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, it's a little over the top. He's very exciting as the Hornets play-by-play guy. NFL, I would tell him to dial it back a notch. And I like it up a notch, but that's too much of a notch.
He's excited.
He was definitely like the biggest story in terms of broadcasting this weekend was Eric Collins.
Eric Collins.
Who had an entertaining game, 27-24, and his team, the Panthers, you know, won the football game. But it was a little bit much for me.
How did Kelce do last night?
Yep, Travis, he caught a touchdown.
Like he was solid. He had like four or five catches, didn't he? Probably about 70 yards, I'm going to guess.
Let's get this.
Maybe 64 yards.
That's the guess.
That's my guess.
Travis Kelce had 7 catches for 61 yards and a score.
So good game.
Solid.
Was Mahomes okay?
Yes.
Besides the bad pick.
That pick was bad.
Oh. Man.
Mahomes 29-41 for 318, one touchdown, one pick.
It's not bad.
I also had one rushing touchdown, of course, 6 carries, 60 yards. Led the team in rushing last night.
He looks good to me. I mean, he's still in his 20s, right?
I think he's 29. He's been in the league forever. Yeah.
Perfect.
Is he 29 or is he 28? He is. He's 30 now. He's just turned 30.
It's all right.
In mid-September.
He can still run.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, does he make some plays with his feet. You unbelievable. They're 30 years old?
30.
Yeah.
That looks good.
He makes some plays with his feet. He had a zone read keep for a touchdown. And, yeah, he can still make a lot of plays with his feet.
That's now two straight weeks the Chiefs' offense has looked at least right. I mean, the first couple weeks, again, 0-2, then they did win week 3, didn't look good offensively. But now the last 2 weeks, the offense has looked like it's somewhat back. Run game, not great, but passing game has looked better. Last day they had just about 460 yards of offense.
I think in the first half they averaged like 11 yards a play. Or not, I think it was like 11 yards a play. They had like 260-something yards. I don't know what it was, but in the first half, it was ridiculous. I mean, the Chiefs were – when the score later in the game was like 14-4, I was like, how do they only have 14 points? Because they were up and down the field.
Keep the stats open. How much did that Rutgers running back?
Pacheco? Yeah. Isaiah Pacheco had the – he split carries with Kareem Hunt. So, Pacheco, 7 carries, 36 yards, no scores. Kareem Hunt, 7 carries, 49 yards, 2 touchdowns for the Chiefs last night.
I like both those guys. So – I didn't know what happened to Pacheco, but I guess he broke his leg last year, right? Broke a fibula?
It was something severe.
Fibula. Yeah. Fibula. And they say he doesn't have all his explosion back. And you can see that he doesn't, but he still runs with abandon. He looked good. He looked good to me, and I love their starter. Like that Kareem Hunt.
Jeez. Who has bounced around the NFL. He's back with the Chiefs.
Yeah,
again.
He's a hard runner.
For a second or third stint there now.
Hard runner. God.
When it comes to running backs, you used to love guys that run angry. Pacheco might be the angriest runner I've seen.
He's angry.
I mean, he's angry. He makes up for any lack of
skill
or of ability, whatever it is, like that, how he runs. And he runs angry. And he looks like he'd be a blast to coach.
Yeah.
Looks like he really likes football.
Oh, God. Yeah, he does.
I know you didn't catch any baseball. Because
give me some scores.
But you've been captivated by
Sean
the
Sean was keeping me updated on the Dodgers.
Yes, Sean Callahan's happy this morning because Dodgers on the road go up 2-0. They beat the Phillies 4-3. A little dicey ninth inning. They're up 4-1, give up 2 runs, and there's 2 guys on with 2 outs. They get they force the out to win the game. And the Cubs were up 3-0 early on, tied up by 3. The Brewers beat the Cubs 7-3, so the Cubs now on the brink of elimination in that series. They will host Milwaukee tomorrow night.
God.
In game 3.
I wish I could have seen the Dodgers. The Dodgers-Phillies, that's a bit of an upset, right?
I don't think it's ever an upset when the Dodgers win because they just they've been
but
good.
The better record is Phillies.
Yeah, Phillies have three more wins than them. So I guess if you go off that, it's an upset.
Mm. Sean was surprised.
Who plays tonight, Jake?
Tonight in baseball, we will have Mariners Tigers. By the way, I didn't give a shout out yesterday to the Mariners won their first playoff game in 24 years on Sunday.
Whoa.
With the 3-2 win over the Tigers. So that series is tied at 1. It goes to Detroit. Mariners-Tigers today at 3:08 on FS1. Blue Jays-Yankees, that's Rudy's Blue Jays, who just stomped the Yankees the first two games, could win the series tonight. Blue Jays-Yankees, 7:08 p.m. on FS1.
Oh, we're just at 5 baseball games right now. Okay, this isn't 7.
This is just 5, Rudy, right? Yep. The ALCS and NLCS are both 7 games and the World Series. But this round just best of 5.
The Mariners hadn't won a playoff game in 24 years.
Correct.
How is that possible?
That 2001 team was really good. It was Ichiro. That was okay. I don't think Griffey was on that team. I think he was gone at that point.
Okay.
I think he was.
Yeah. When's the last time the Diamondbacks won a playoff game?
Well, they were in the World Series 2 years ago and lost. Yeah, the Rangers.
That'd be a while back then.
Yeah.
The
Diamondbacks were in the World Series 2 years ago, lost to the Rangers in the World Series. They went to 7 games.
I have no idea. I have no comprehension of that.
No.
Last thing I remember was Randy Johnson pitching for the Diamondbacks, and they were good. That'd been the 90s. So I really thought it had been 30-something years since they won a playoff game. World Series 2 years ago. Sports radio right here. 93.7 The Ticket.
We do.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I'm still startled by the Mariners stat.
Wow. You should be. The baseball team.
24 years.
Their first any sort of playoff win. They haven't won the series yet. They didn't play the first one. They had a bye to the second round or to the ALDS because the Tigers had to beat the Guardians in 3 games to get there in the wild card round. But 2 games today.
Yeah.
3:08. You can watch the little afternoon baseball.
Can I?
3:08.
I don't know.
FS1.
It's a pretty busy day, actually. Yesterday, and I missed the baseball yesterday, which I regret profoundly.
Well, there's no football today. No Maxion today. Maxion starts in November. We got other football that starts
football
tomorrow, but it's not Maxion.
What's it tomorrow? What god awful game is it tomorrow?
It's a great game.
It's a great game. It's probably two of the best I've seen. Isn't it UTEP? Isn't UTEP involved?
We do have UTEP. Yeah, tomorrow night. Tomorrow night you can watch Missouri State and Middle Tennessee State at 6:30 on ESPN2. That's 2-3 Missouri State, who gave up 70 points at USC, and Middle Tennessee is 1-4. Or you can find both 1-4 teams, Liberty at UTEP, at 7 p.m. tomorrow night on the CBS Sports Network. How's that sound?
I'll watch that one.
Nice Wednesday.
What's his name? Scotty Walden?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
You met him before. UTEP's coach.
He's getting things kind of turned. He got a win.
Getting things turned around.
Did you believe in him when you talked to him?
He's liked him. He's a
good
dude.
Figured out here.
He's a little guy. Little guy. He's littler than I am. He's a good dude, though. Yeah, he was fine. They came in here. And what was that final?
I think it was 48-7.
Yeah.
It's either 40-7 or 48-7.
Year. I mean, come on. I don't know how you do it at UTEP. I have no idea how you're going to do it. How you make it work in El Paso right now, but give him a shot.
That's your favorite city, if you want to go.
I've never been there.
Sip wants to attend the Sun Bowl so badly. It's now the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, I believe
it's
called.
Is it? They're still rolling.
Frosted Flake.
I don't know if the Big Ten goes to that.
Probably not.
God, it used to be a great game, though, to watch.
I think, I'm pretty sure in the last 10 years that Notre Dame played there for a bowl game. I'm almost certain about that. It's like Notre Dame, Oregon State, and a random year. I'm pretty sure. I don't know why I remember that, but it was very odd they played in El Paso.
It's well known among coaches and probably administration too that the Sun Bowl is probably one of the best treated. How you're treated is the best.
Is that right?
Everyone just like that when they leave there, everyone's kind of got that same deal. We're going to the Sun Bowl. We're going to El Paso. What is this? And then all of a sudden you get there and you get treated like royalty. Everyone says that. It's like, hey,
it's
go to the
tradition.
Sun Bowl.
Yeah. That's why you want to go.
It's got some tradition. Yeah, I mean, Alex Henry screwed me out of the Sun Bowl. Made that field goal. I'm like, Colorado, you got to be kidding me. He made like a 57-yarder, right?
Everyone else is happy, and Sip's pissed because he's not going to El Paso.
He's making this 57-yarder. That's wonderful.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, it was a great moment for Nebraska.
And you went to...
Where did we go?
We went to Jacksonville instead. Wouldn't you love Jacksonville? It was the Gator Bowl year, right? They beat
Yeah, and that's a good...
Dabo Swinney and Clemson. That was Dabo's first
year. I don't know how you remember.
I don't know. Yeah. Weird memory.
Yeah.
That they went to the Gator Bowl that
and they
year.
Beat Clemson. Yeah. Joe Gans. 26-17, I want to say.
Yeah, and that was probably, if that wasn't Quentin Castile's best game, it had to be
one. Yeah, I don't remember for sure. I can't help it.
He ran well there for a while in that game, yeah. I think he had 80 yards or something.
Oh, okay. Not bad. Anything else idle chit chat at all?
I got nothing. All I did was work yesterday. Worked till 9.
I don't really have anything either. Nothing really was really
Work today too, so I won't have any idle chit chat.
Yeah, not much shaking out there. Rain kind of put a little bit of a slowdown on the day. I like the rain. It's an all day rain. We have total rain numbers, but it's a lot.
Whip the forecast out.
I got it for you.
Yeah.
No rain for a while.
Oh God, not today.
I see no rain until maybe Monday. But if you want, if you are a fan of fall, which I think people are ready for in this city and state. The highest temperature I see the next 10 days is 77.
Okay.
That's nice. Acceptable. Anything below 80, we're happy.
We got sunshine today, though.
Today is 66, 67 tomorrow, so that's really fall-like. No rain.
No rain today.
Not much wind either.
Good.
Pretty chill.
Good. That's perfect.
Pretty chill.
Perfect.
So, there's your weather update.
Yeah, good job.
That is Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by 738 Egg.
Joey!
Seed, chemicals, fertilizer, or someone to run the sprayer for you. 738 Egg runs the whole show. Custom application included or more today at 738ag.com. We hope the fields are somewhat dry for Joey to get out there today.
I think they're going to be out around here. You'd not be for sure. That was a
maybe
man,
Bertrand.
We got hammered. And then it's a slow. I mean, I can't imagine the corn being dried out for several days. But I bet a little bit of knowledge how fast it dries out. I don't know. But I'm going to say they're 2-3 days out. I don't think they're out in the fields until maybe Thursday or Friday.
I'm not buying this, but I'm seeing on my weather report it says only a half inch for Lincoln yesterday.
Oh, come on.
I'm saying maybe in 1 hour we had a half inch or 2 hours.
We had some hard rain in the
and
morning.
Usually this thing is like over the top when it predicts what it was. There's no way.
That can't be right.
We had people say 1.5 inches when the show began at 6 a.m. yesterday.
I'm sure it just depends where you're at.
I guess. But that was Lincoln's forecast there. Don't know.
Is that Shemek?
That was not Shimmick. That was AccuWeather.
What's the official date here of Shimmick shutting it down here is this month.
Yeah, I think it's October
Do we know the exact date on that?
I don't think he's going all the way to the end of the month. I think it's mid-October.
I want to see that show.
God, today's October.
Will they end it on a Friday? That'll be tough. I don't ever watch the show on a Friday.
We'll have to. We can reach out to 10-11 and see what is last. I thought it was the 20th for some reason, but that's a Monday.
Yeah. Are they building up to it?
I think so. I saw Kevin Suit shares us Kevin Ken Shimmick post the other day. So he's getting sentimental
Suit.
As he should be. Been with him for a
How
long time.
How do you pronounce
time.
His name?
Who?
Kevin Suits.
It's weird. It's S J U T S. You think Suits is not be what you think, but S J U T S equals Suits apparently.
Missing Tooth Greg has weighed in 1.6 inches on his brain gauge.
Yeah, I can buy that. We're not pushing back and listening to Greg this time.
Our house had to be the same. We got plenty.
He's got his rain gauge. That is Greg. That's a great Greg I'm talking to.
Send a picture of it?
The best part is that Greg sends a picture. He doesn't tell us what it says. He just sends the picture.
It's a really nice rain gauge.
So your eyes can't deceive you.
It's not perfect. It's an older rain gauge. You can tell. But
is it on his fence?
Yeah, it is. I think what happened is, I don't know what happened to his rain gauge when it was gone for a prolonged period. But
which I don't get, by the way. What happened to
Something it? Happened to the fence.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom. It's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states, thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit legally.
That's, I think. But here it is. God dang, I'd like a rain gauge like that.
Mark and Lego says 2.1 inches. Aaron, 1.7 inches.
Eagle got 2. Okay. Crete got what?
Henry, Crete had 1.7 inches. Southern Gage County, south of Beatrice, had 5.5 inches of rain.
Good God.
That's a lot.
No, well, that's flooding.
Man, that's flooding. That's not. That's lowland flooding.
I don't think the Big Blue River was flooding when I checked yesterday.
The Big Blue.
That's going through Beatrice. That's you had the loop.
The Big Blue.
Big Blue, which was often.
I don't know why I laughed. It's not funny.
Just going to tell you the loop's a little nicer because it's more sandy.
Mm-hmm.
The loop is saying the Big Blue is more muddy.
I don't know where all that sand comes
from. I don't
know,
but it's
like a beach.
It is. It's a beach. It is.
I'm serious.
No, I'm serious.
I used to be on it. You could be on it. Yeah. Like we used to go out there, and it was like a beach. Yeah. So, and, you know, there were times when there wasn't even water.
Just walked across the river.
You just walk out on sand. I'm not joking around.
The Platte River what's that? How far is that? 2 miles?
I don't know. Probably.
Not very far. A couple miles from the
I should
from the
know
loop.
Exactly.
It's not very far of that, but there's times this year I drove over, and it was dry.
Right.
I mean, there's no water in the Platte whatsoever. And you look across, there's no holes in it either. The deepest it is about like a foot deep all the way across the whole thing.
Jake, I'm not joking.
I know.
Like that it was sand.
Is there anyone out there? We got taken up in a helicopter. Maybe we want to take the three of us out on on an airboat.
The airboat. We want to do an airboat.
We're not doing a helicopter again.
Chopper, we're done with that.
What about an airboat? Anyone out there would willing to take us up and down the loop? I'd do that because those things are cool.
Is it deep enough for that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They're airboats.
It's airboat, Jake. That's the whole concept of the airboat.
It has to be on water of some sort.
They do.
It's got to have some sort of depth.
They can kind of whip across sandbars though if they have a little momentum going.
Gotcha. Well, that'd be fun.
I'd
welcome that. 464-5685, call or text as always. Matt Rule was at the podium yesterday. Sip, I heard you ask a question. It was about the offensive line you asked about?
No, it was about the defensive line.
Okay. Well, I heard it.
There's a lot. I can go off memory, I think. I don't know what your labels are.
Do you want
his
answer to that one?
It was. I just asked him if the defensive line took a step forward.
I got it for you. Matt Rule, yesterday.
That's not forcing it. Just the negative, you guys, the negative things can't be like this. And then the positive things are like, well, I don't, it's okay to say something positive. They'll still subscribe and listen. I promise, guys. It's okay to be positive, too. All right? I'm just teasing. You know I love you. I agree with you completely. No. Like, I thought it was like, and again, I think I said earlier in the year, like, as the season goes on, they will, like, you know, you can practice and practice and practice, but until you play in some games, you start seeing like, man, I can't get off a block. Then all of a sudden you start seeing like, you start walking out. I go out at night, every night at like 6 o'clock, and I sit out on the balcony because there's not a balcony by my office. The assistant coaches all have balconies. So I go sit outside their offices and just kind of hold court for a little bit. And you look out there, there's usually someone out there working. doing some extra work, you know. And so when they start getting into games, they start saying, hey, I need to do this. But, you know, we stopped the run, right? So that's a positive storyline, right? This is a running football team, and we stopped the run and turned it into a drop back game. Now, credit to Childs, like, to two short fields, man, he made some plays running around that bother you. But on the one sack, like the effort that Wanneri had, like, you know, he spun around three times to get the guy. Elijah Judy just keeps getting better in practice and pass rushing. So, I thought they made a real step and stopped the run and then turned into a passing game. I thought Wanneri was, like, special in the game. I thought McCullough was special in the game. I thought, you know, the inside guys. And then we got some, like, David Hufkin gets in the game for the first time ever. He's playing well. So I think Terry and Phil Simpson are doing a good job with those guys.
Hufkin.
There we go. The reason he said that is because I prefaced the question almost like you almost have to apologize around here if you bring up something positive. They won the game. They win the game. You get up Monday and people are like, you have to remind yourself that they won. Drives me nuts. But anyway, so I just prefaced the question by saying, all I said was, I don't want to force this, but it looked like the D-line took a step forward. And his reaction was appropriate. He had an appropriate reaction. You don't have to apologize for asking positive questions. You'll still sell. There'll still be subscribers. I thought the defensive line. I watched a game live. Obviously, watched it again Sunday night, and I was just like,
they had their best game of the season.
Yeah, they looked great. I mean, they didn't. I couldn't believe it. And you guys can minimize Michigan State all you want. They can run it a little bit. That number five is good. They're not great. But their offense wasn't the problem.
I mean, they only had 240. I mean, Nebraska did a good job. 240 yards, Michigan State. 27 points is a odd amount for that many yards given up.
And they shut down the run for most of the game. The running back run game was pretty non-existent. Childs, of course, got loose a few times. And that counts. I get it. But the running back run game, they hammered that guy. Now, he hammered them a couple of times. I mean, he's a physical runner. But by and large, and Wanneri is playing. I mean, he's playing really well.
Want to hear about him? Yeah. Here's Matt Rule on Williams Wanneri from yesterday.
You know, I think one of the biggest things for me with him was, like, to get rid of the expectations. Like, you know, when you're – it's like I've experienced it in the NFL. When you're a first-round draft pick, you're always measuring yourself against, like, your draft status and your compensation. When you're a five-star plus, you're like, just go be a football player. Just go be a freshman. Go be a sophomore. So to that end, in the spring, the only thing I said to him was, I said, I have one word for you, motor, like – we timed him, and he runs fast. But when I turn the tape on, I should see that speed. And now you're seeing it. And I think it's just from practice. Like, no, the players probably don't even want to hear it. But just if you practice well long enough, eventually it starts to translate, turn over, right? Like, Deshaun Singleton had two interceptions in the game. Those are his. He's in his fifth or sixth year of college football. I don't even know what year. And that's his third interception. Like. Judy is a fifth-year senior. He had his first sack, I think, right? So it's like you just keep doing things, and eventually something good will happen. So just trusting the path that you're on, instead of all the freshmen, and like, the freshmen are panicked, and like their parents are panicked. Like, just do the good, right stuff long enough. And I think that's a great example. Williams is a great example. Like, hey, man, don't worry about your ranking. Don't worry about anything. Just become a good player. And I think he's just taking leaps. You know, we put him in a black shirt last week because he's just playing so much. And and we're playing some different packages, you know, like when they go big, we're playing some 4-3. You know, when they go to 11 and we think it's a run, he's playing some 4-3 stuff. We're playing some 5-down stuff. So we'll definitely deserve that.
Yeah, he played 52 snaps, which is by far Williams. Wanneri played 52 snaps, which was by far the most of the defensive linemen. So they're keeping him on the field, which tells you they trust him. They've been doing that, though. He's been playing a lot of snaps from the start of the season. And you can see he's getting better. I mean, he's getting better and better every game. And I thought he was really good. I mean, I thought he was really good from the opening series. Yep. And I don't know if you noticed, Jake, but that first sack, Javon Wright hurtled.
He did. That was cool. That was good timing.
He hurtled a dude, got to the quarterback. He got there first, but then Wanneri slammed him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he hammered him. And I thought it was like a little bit of a statement, like, okay, this is what's going to happen. And it was good to see. Now, also, Rule, and I give Rule a lot of credit for keeping that conversation positive, because it gets so negative around here, incredibly negative. He was I know they won the game.
They won by 11.
Man. Yeah. But he had Dylan's back yesterday, which I appreciate. He was asked the question, I think, was should Dylan be ripping it more or something like that. He had a good
No, I don't think that. I don't think so. Yeah, I think Dylan's playing really well. I think maybe some of the rush got to him at times a little bit last game. He's kind of started like maybe moving around a little bit like this, and then I think he settled down. To quote him, I thought in the third and fourth quarter he had blood in his eyes. After he threw that pick, he was angry, and he went out there and made the play he made on the play to Ja'Cory. Not many guys are going to make that. Ja'Cory's supposed to run a five-step out. Ja'Cory just figured it out because the guy undercut it. Just figured it out and turned up. Dylan stepped up inside, so... I think Dylan's the least of our worries right now.
That was the play that changed the game. It was 3rd and 10, down 7.
Yeah,
and
they were not
moving the ball at all the last couple of series. And he steps up, hits Barney for that, and they scored two plays later.
Yeah,
on the Emma Johnson run.
Yeah, the long kind of like a 23-yard run type thing.
Yes.
That was a huge play because they looked dead. I thought they looked dead in the water, and then all of a sudden there was a play. And they didn't throw it downfield. I don't know if they had. Did they have another downfield pass like that all day?
I'm going to say maybe one.
Yeah. And I think Dylan today probably will say at the podium that he didn't play well. This is my guess. That's what he'll say. It wasn't his best game, but they won. And I always believe most of the time that quarterback discussion is it's not clean. It's complicated. I mean, what's going on around him? Are receivers open downfield? What's the protection like? I do think he held it a few times. He probably could throw the ball out of bounds sometimes when he doesn't. And I don't know. That's the kind of stuff they'll teach. But by and large, I would say he didn't have a great game, and that's probably what he'll say. But it's good that the coach has his back.
Now, Rule did say that Nebraska is planning on going out there Thursday. Usually they go out the day before, right, Bill, typically? Mm-hmm.
They're going Thursday.
They're going Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah, I guess either way, whatever you guys have planned, I think is great. I mean, whatever they have worked out, they probably have this worked out a long way. It was a little bit of a shock. I get the Thursday.
Shocked too.
So NFL does that, and when it's usually when it's coast to coast. So if you're going from Maryland out to UCLA, that's when it is.
Understandable, yeah.
Because that flight's not a real long flight to Maryland. That's a 2.5 by 2 hour something flight. But for whatever reason, they feel it's a better thing. Yeah, so they have a better time. But yeah, in general, it's a coast to coast flight is when that happens. Someone's going. I read about the other day too. But almost everyone that's going coast to coast is a Thursday flight.
So Bill, what they do? They have a walk through Friday. I think Friday's an important day for them. Yeah. So they can have their day. And he explains it. I don't know which.
There's a couple of
like
them
Michigan is going, which is a further flight. That's not quite coast to coast, but they are going out on Thursday to play USC.
It was the first time he addressed it.
I think it's going to be this one. Yeah. Here's Matt Rhule on minimizing the impact of travel.
I think that might be it
from yesterday.
Well, I think first, it's one of the great things about being in Nebraska. We're centrally located, so we're not on these 6 hour flights. I think about some of these guys going West Coast to East Coast. I mean, how hard that is. Even in the NFL, you probably only do it like once a year. You go from the East Coast to the West Coast or vice versa. So, we study everyone. We reach out to everyone after they do it, if they play. Hey, what'd you do? It's great collegiality amongst the league because I think we all have to deal with it. But I think the number one thing is we don't complain about it. You know what I mean? That's the first thing. This is, anytime you go play a game, there's several opponents in the game. And one of them is just, the conditions, the travel, all that stuff. So it's just part of it. We've had a year to prepare for it. We know what to expect. We were glad it's not a night game because we come back and play on Friday night. We were hoping for an 11 o'clock game, but 3 o'clock will take. And the only difference being, Mitch, that we're going to go out Thursday because, when you arrive there, you fly into BWI. You got to drive about an hour to Bethesda to get to the airport. And so, we know Washington didn't get in until about 1 o'clock in the morning Thursday night. So we're not a big Thursday operation. We like to go on Fridays and keep our routine. But this is one time and the only time this year that we'll go out on Thursday just because of the nature of being on the East Coast and traveling in those areas. So we'll take advantage of Friday as a day to, like I said, when I talk about the brotherhood of the team, just spend some time together and take the day to build, lock in and get focused for the game. But I think that's one change that we've made. But when we go to the West Coast, we don't really do that. But again, we aren't having the same travel that maybe – I think back to my first year here, right? We flew to Illinois. We flew to Minnesota. We flew to Colorado, and we flew – who else did we play in Wisconsin, right? I mean, they were all like, a small plane, you know, 90-minute rides, right? And now it's a little different, but it's good. I'm excited about it.
Makes sense. There's a lot of questions about travel yesterday.
There were. But it's the first time. It's their first road trip. It's October 7th, and they have their first actual road game because you can't count the first game as a road game. It was neutral site against Cincinnati.
It's a big topic. Road in the game. It's a big topic in the Big Ten. Like, you know, and I don't, you guys maybe have these records. I don't have the records of teams that, I don't know how they do it, like cross the Mississippi and all everything. But I guess it's a big deal. I never really think of it that way, but I'd think of it more if it was UCLA going to Maryland or USC going to Rutgers. Like Bill said, it's, and like he says, we're in the middle. It's not a huge, it's not a
good spot
huge,
to be.
Yes, if you're sitting there, if you're in Nebraska and Iowa, you never have to complain about travel.
No, yeah, that's
no, there's zero complaint about travel. And the ones that have it the worst are on the West Coast because there's more, I mean, there's less teams. So they got to travel more than the East Coast teams going the other direction. They're the ones that's like, oh, wow, that's, you know, just like a USC this year, they also have Notre Dame. And so they got to go to that. That's a trip.
Okay.
That's a trip to get to Indiana.
Absolutely.
You know, from there. So that's a trip. And that's a non-conference game that makes it also a little bit of a travel trip.
Yeah. I don't, I don't like to be a contrarian, but I don't get into that conversation that much. Like going to Maryland to play, it's not, doesn't have to be a big ordeal. Maybe it is. Okay. People would want to know what he said about the O-line, too. Got any of that?
O-line
discussion.
Like, yes. I got it right there. Matt Rhule.
I saw a lot of good things, and I saw some other things, you know, that have to be improved. You know, some of the sacks are, you know, on them. Some of the sacks are on other people, you know, like that. I think it's just, you know, I think like right now Emmett Johnson is third in the league in rushing, right? So the narrative that's out there that we can't run the football is kind of silly, right? We're just, you know, college football, you take away sacks. Are we giving up too many sacks? Yes. I mean, one of them, that's what I love about Dylan Raiola. He stands up on the one. I don't know if you guys, anyway, he went, that's on me. He was holding the ball, right? Like, a third down sack doesn't really bother me as much as a first and second down sack. And because, I mean, you know, if you just hurry up and get the ball in your hand and don't get the first down anyway, like, you're punting the ball. Now, we don't want sack fumbles. So, yeah, there was just some times there, as we all saw, the things kind of got a little out of whack and out of kilter. And, you know, we have to be better. But, I don't think it's like this, oh, my gosh, we can't block anybody. You know, we had nine plays, I think 38 yards in the first quarter. We had a horrific second quarter, unlike anything I've ever been a part of. All right? So let's call it what it was. But we had 104-yard third quarter. We had 104-yard, 103-yard fourth quarter. So, you know, it's on pace to be about a 420-yard day. You know what I'm saying? It's just we just didn't play well there for a while. What I was happy about was that the guys just kept playing. They didn't panic. I mean, you know, we have the ball in the red zone, and if you guys go back and watch the All-22, Dane Key runs an over route. He's wide open. It's a walk-in touchdown, and they blitz the safety. And not that we can't block him, just the left tackle just, you know, just busts, doesn't block him, right? It's just a mental error. So we fix the mental error. We keep coaching, right? It's kind of what we've been talking about all year, just trying to improve what we're doing. Some of them, the quarterback's trying to hold on, trying to make a play. And if you want to live with the great plays, you have to live with some of those plays too. So we'll keep getting better, but the narrative like, hey, we can't block anybody, I mean, we got to block better, but we're blocking people that, you know, we just got to be more consistent.
Yeah.
What's your response to that?
No, that's good. That's a good narrative. Well,
you laughed.
I laughed because I wrote a column after the game that really sort of was damning toward the offensive line. Then it graded pretty well, actually. So, you know, I feel like a knucklehead. A lot of the game, the issue is they had that stretch of, it was 23 plays where I think they got 19 yards or 19 plays where they got 23, one or the other. So they had one of the most horrific stretches I've ever seen at Nebraska, that where they didn't do anything offensively. And that a lot of that is in your mind. And you don't think about, oh, yeah, well, you know what? They did spin out of it and then made plays late and ran the ball late and got the big play from Dylan to Barney. And got the big Isaiah Hunter play. They spun out of it.
Yep.
You're so affected by that long stretch where you're just like, what is going on? They look completely lost. But they weren't lost the whole time. So, and they did. The line did do some good stuff.
And this is a Maryland team that leads the Big Ten in sacks with 19. So a lot of trepidation from the fan base. Seeing those numbers yesterday, we'll see if that affects the game at all Saturday.
So they have 19 sacks?
19 sacks, leads the Big Ten.
I just wonder how many of those. I haven't looked at Maryland.
It could be against the bad competition. Yeah. I didn't see against the great competition with those words.
I haven't looked at Maryland at all. I know Malik Washington. I know there's there's this sort of false narrative that he runs it. He doesn't run it. You can look at his stats. He might have run it a few times against the bad teams, but he's not a runner. Not even Underwood's a great runner. He's not like Childs. So they should be okay there. I think Bill would tell you they always have good receivers. Number one, number four, number five are all pretty good.
Yeah. I haven't seen them hardly at all, but in the past they've always had skill.
Yeah,
especially at receiver, right?
It
just seems to me like when you just look at their offensive production is that they fade. You know, they scored. You know, they said they scored, 20 in the first half and 7 against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They scored 20 in this game. Was it first half?
Yeah.
And then didn't score again. And then second half, was it?
Well, it was 13 zip a half. They did score an opening drive touchdown, and then they went crickets the rest of the way.
Yeah. So they have not finished strong offensively.
Yeah, he's not a runner. He has a total on the year of 11 carries for, 15 yards.
Yeah, he's not like these other guys. So that's
a big advantage. And just in a scramble mode. Just scramble mode.
And I know I can get – I overreact sometimes. I might be overreacting to the D-line, but I think they may be turning a corner there.
It was a good game for them,
for sure. They look good.
That was definitely positive.
I had to look at it again to make sure I saw what I saw. And it was good. It just looked good. I mean, they got those young guys like Petchak look great. Judy takes a lot of heat, but God dang, he
played pretty well, too. Yeah,
he had a huge sack.
We'll
see if it, the key is you got to continue doing it.
Before I get to break, if you are hungry in downtown Lincoln for breakfast, brunch, or lunch today, where might you send the breakers to, Bill?
The Bird.
Early Bird.
Early.
At 19th and K, they have lots of spacious
free parking downtown. The moon's incredible.
Is there a full moon right now?
Full moon. Missed harvest moon last night because it was cloudy.
But then we got
the full moon this morning when I woke up. I think the moon's gone now. I'm not sure, but we can at least, if you're there at Early Bird, you can talk about the moon.
You could also have breakfast nachos, breakfast tacos, waffles, pancakes, and don't forget... Please don't forget the world-famous Hash Holes.
Hash Holes.
Hash Holes.
Stop by Early Bird today, 19th K. It's open right now till 2 p.m. every single day.
2 p.m.
at 19th K. When we come back, update on the Mark Sanchez situation in Indianapolis. We will tell you what happened next in Early Break on the Ticket.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.